A lot of people write their press releases to stroke the ego of their paying clients.
Yeah, big mistake there.
Rather than to try to provide the journalists with what they need to actually get a story done. It's time for another episode of Grow the Dream today.
The press release is not dead if you do it right.
Twitter's going to die if they release that 10,000 character limit.
But don't miss the discussion we're going to have today about whether you should host your press kit on Medium, plus Star Wars talk, and lots of other fun stuff.
Like AP style, what is that?
Coming up right now.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, it's time for another episode of
Grow the Dream Show.
Ooh, what was that, Josh?
It was a little warm, kind of.
It was.
Yeah, kind of. Hey, it's time for another episode, and we're glad you're here.
Soft and groovy.
Yeah.
It's Marketing Mondays.
I'm thinking of The Panther. What's the Pink Panther?
The Pink Panther?
Yeah. That's a good. Yeah. That's a good movie.
Pink Panther.
Can we all agree on that?
Which one?
The one, the pink one.
Are you talking about the ones with Steve Martin? Are you talking about the real
The guy
classic
from the
ones?
The guy from The Smoking Gun?
Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, Inspector Clouseau.
What's the actor's name? I'm trying to tell, like, I'm totally drawing a blank. The guy from the 80s.
The guy from The Smoking Gun movies.
Are you talking about Leslie?
He was also an Airplane.
Yeah, you're thinking of Leslie. Yeah, his name?
He's funny.
Yeah, but he was like the captain. He was the chief, wasn't he?
Oh, like my gosh. Speaking of movies, Star Wars, we totally skipped it last episode.
Did we?
And we promised, and we promised that we would lift the veil on the...
Peter Sellers.
He was so good.
That, if you... Okay,
on the spoiler alerts.
Before we get to Star Wars, sorry. I know, we got it. We can spoil Star Wars now. We might not spoil it, though. I don't know. If you think Steve Martin is good as the Pink Panther, and he is, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You really have to see the guy who put that character on the map.
Oh,
you really need
the
to
original.
See one of the classic.
The original.
There are a few of them, yeah.
Okay.
A few of those films. Absolutely amazing.
I haven't seen one for a long time, and so I'm never sure if those things will hold up over time. I loved it, like, in the 70s or even the 60s, I think, some of the first ones were, weren't they?
Well, I wouldn't know.
at any rate. But so I'm never sure. Things that I found hilarious back then, I look at now, and it's like, I'm not laughing all that hard. So I'm never sure if it will really travels well through time.
I kind of think it does. Okay. It's Leslie Nielsen is the actor's name. I was going to say Nielsen,
guy.
But that didn't seem right. That's who Josh was thinking of. So I think, had you seen Star Wars yet, Rod, when we last...
Are you pouring that over your computer?
Oh, that sounds good.
Dude.
It's the brew of the day.
That's
it's
risky,
It's not like
man.
I've ever dumped coffee on my computer before.
If
totally
I dumped
lost
coffee
and had to buy
on my
a
computer,
new one,
my... I oh man.
He said it was running slow last week. Look, you
bad.
Saw it here. He's trying to sabotage this week and buy the next one. You guys were complaining about El Capitan and
that's
now
right.
Rod's pouring coffee into his computer.
And then the article.
Wait, you mean that if I destroy my computer while we're on the air, that Grow the Dream Show will buy me a new one? I think that's what I just heard. Good to know.
Wait. I think it should buy all of us a new one.
Actually, I probably have the newest, don't I?
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, they're suing Apple. For iPhone 4S users.
Isn't oh, yeah,
great?
I saw that.
Class action lawsuit because iOS 9 made their phones unusable.
Right.
I think it's funny because we were just talking about this last week on the show.
Yeah.
And then there's this class action. What's funny is that my wife had an iPhone 4S, and these are all four iPhone 4 or 4S users. Maybe there were 4S. I don't remember if they included 4s.
Good brew, guys.
She wanted the new phone, the 6S.
Yeah.
And I had been telling her for at least a year not to update the OS on her 4S.
And she did.
Because I knew it would nearly break the device. No, she didn't do it.
Oh.
I saved her from being a member of this class. because she never updated.
I forgot to push record.
Okay. That's okay.
Oh, cool. So my slouching has not been recorded.
You then. can get up and do that, and we'll let it join us in progress.
How's okay.
That?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So Star Wars, Rod, I don't think we talked about your reaction to the film.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we didn't. I liked it. I totally enjoyed it. And, you know, not to commit sacrilege or anything, but a little bit of in one ear and out the other for me. It was good. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was Star Wars. It was pretty much everything I expected. I will say, the two new characters they introduced, the young people, who I've already forgot, Rey
is the female lead.
Rey's the female, and then
Finn.
So Rey and Finn, totally likable characters.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job choosing those. I mean, how can you have the same, is it the same people that would choose a Jar Jar Binks and the young man Anakin that would then choose those
heck
two?
No.
Because
which young man Anakin? All of the Anakins were terrible.
No, the little boy Anakin was
Jake,
cute. He was fine.
He was cute.
I'm sorry, cute just goes a long way for me.
He couldn't act his way out of a...
Is he six?
Okay, but I've seen some young childhood actors that were amazing, and okay. I'm sorry, he was...
It could be. But the other one, I just wanted to throttle myself before he went bad.
The Hayden Christensen?
The older Anakin? The sulky teenage brewing,
I can't get
the girl thing.
He was actually really good in episode 3. I felt like he almost redeemed
as
himself.
He turned that bad. When he was crawling around with just half his body on the bank there. Yes. In the
well,
lava.
Right, yeah. leading up to that.
Exactly. And that scene, he was great.
That was a good moment for him, yes. But no, I'm talking about leading up to that. So wow. The Force Awakens has now blasted past Avatar in terms of box office records. $764 million. Like that?
Is that for purposeful
what?
Pun?
For what?
For all-time gross, I think. What's the number?
For all-time gross
domestic.
In the first 2 weeks or
nope.
What?
Domestic gross. Total.
Okay, but it's not total. Domestic
total
gross.
Domestic gross in the United States.
So you're saying it's number one after a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Of all time?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right to me.
This is huge.
What are you looking? What's the citation
Forbes?
There? And read the verbiage.
Would Walt Disney sent out its official press release Wednesday at 4:30 p.m., but in case you need hard confirmation, Wednesday's $6.2 million gross for Star Wars The Force Awakens has indeed pushed the Walt Disney film past the $760 million domestic gross of James Cameron's Avatar. J.J. Abrams' sci-fi sequel is now the biggest grossing movie ever in America if you don't adjust for inflation.
Okay.
If you do adjust for inflation,
well, I don't know what that does.
Jaws,
to it, but they're also. They're,
right,
I'm trying
exactly.
to get, not get us lost in the weeds
okay,
here.
Okay, thanks.
Right. But they're saying for the first time in 18 years, a James Cameron movie is not at the top of the charts because Titanic. Once Titanic came, got up there, it was Avatar that beat it.
Wow.
So this is now.
How about that for a title?
Okay.
That's impressive.
And for the first time in 40 years, a film not helmed by James Cameron, George Lucas, or Steven Spielberg. Is the biggest movie in America.
Huh. Okay.
Wow.
So.
We got new kings in town.
Yeah.
A new.
But it is a George Lucas
franchise.
Right. Universe.
Right.
That was
true.
Created. Galaxy.
It would not have been such a massive success had it not been for Juge Lucas.
Yeah.
Just figured I'd go with it.
So. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I liked the movie. I thought those characters were
okay,
great.
Okay, so Rey.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know about the expanded universe?
I'm aware of it. I mean, I haven't.
The book that came out that Disney said we are not following the storyline of the expanded universe. In it, what's the lady that had the kids? The one kid that was the lead character? Shoot.
Need more.
Han Solo.
Are you talking about Princess Leia?
Leia.
Maybe?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Han and Leia apparently had twins in the expanded universe.
Kylo Ren and a sister?
Correct. So, just repeated.
Like a sister Rey.
Yeah, repeated what happened.
Well, that seemed obvious, didn't it?
With Leia and Luke.
Because so much else duplicates in that. I mean, there's
no,
so
it's
much
not.
Else.
Everybody thinks it's Luke's daughter, though, that she's Luke's daughter.
She
right?
is.
That's
she's
possible.
Not.
She is Luke's daughter. Are you sure?
No. What I'm saying is she's definitely... Disney said we are not following the expanded universe, which means... And yeah, I'm convinced.
Well, according to George Lucas, all of these were supposed to rhyme. In other words, if when you watched episodes 4, 5, and 6, when you got to 1, 2, and 3, there was supposed to be a rhyming pattern going on. So
with the names?
In the names?
No. In story-wise. So, like, for example, this is one of the justifications for Jar Jar, because Yoda seemed like such a moronic, stupid character at first, and he became, you found out he's actually the master Jedi of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same thing with Jar Jar. He was supposed to be this, you know, we found him by the side of the road, loser.
Well, 1 for 2.
Well, right. But that's what that would be consistent with your thought process here, you know,
they're not twins.
You don't think they're twins? I don't think that they can get away with making her Luke's daughter.
It feels like this the whole overarching theme storyline in this one in The Force Awakens is almost an overlay of the early ones.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're similar to where they're almost predictable, and then you see it coming, and you see and I almost feel like you can really see the next one's coming.
I think she's Obi-Wan's descendant.
You think she's descended from Obi-Wan?
But yeah. What's the most famous line from the early ones?
The Force is
with
you.
I'm your father.
Oh. Luke, yeah. So, fun Star Wars fan fact, since we're talking Star Wars and we really have to move on.
Yeah, we do.
Ewan McGregor, who played Obi-Wan in the, 1, 2, and 3, the prequels.
Right. Did he die?
No, his brother is a British RAF pilot. He's in the Royal Air Force. Yeah. And his call sign is Obi-2.
Sure it is. Okay, well, good for him.
That's just fun. I'm sorry, that's just fun stuff. Okay.
It is.
So, how's your week, guys?
Busy, eventful.
2016 is off to a...
Roaring start.
Roaring start. That's the word I was hunting for. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm feeling optimistic.
So,
a good year.
I'm drinking the brew of the day. It's just a
Komodo
it's a
Dragon.
Repeat. Yeah, it's we can't really talk about it. But you guys both had a chance to experience the new coffee shop in town. Yeah.
Kawa, which is, I think, based in Tampa Bay.
St. Pete. They roast the coffee in St. Pete. Yep.
That's Tampa Bay.
Oh.
So if I say Tampa Bay, I'm covering both the counties.
You did fine. I was just narrowing, from your general.
I also enjoyed Buddy Brew this week.
Okay, let's talk about Kawa first.
Kawa opened up. I think that has a real potential for franchising.
So if you're wondering, it's K A H W A.
It's good coffee. I mean, actually, I got a latte, both times.
I had a cappuccino.
I was just between meetings.
I had cappuccino art.
Ooh.
Yeah, she did a little thing and looked like hearts and stuff.
Oh yeah, had a heart.
If you've ever had a latte and thought this is too much milk. And it's not strong enough coffee flavor.
Yeah.
AKA myself.
Okay.
There's a drink called Cortado.
What's it called?
Cortado. And it's just a different ratio of a latte.
Cortado.
And it's good. Cortado. It was delicious. Had one at Buddy Brew.
Wow.
Now, where's Buddy Brew? What's that?
Yeah. Okay. Talk about Buddy Brew. What's that?
It's right down by Louis on...
Louis Modern?
Yeah, Louis Modern.
Louis Modern.
Oh,
yeah,
so it's another...
right underneath the parking garage.
Is it like a brand?
Oh, I know where it is. In that little area there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is it like a little coffee cart thing?
No. I mean, they have a little room.
They have a little shop.
And then most of the seats outside are lounging.
Okay.
For...
This is too Sarasota specific. Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah.
Great stuff. Okay.
Hey, yeah. Okay.
Cortado.
But
I did not know about that.
Try Cortado. If you don't like lattes, if you think they're too milky, try Cortado.
Can you order that at Starbucks? Will they do it?
I don't know. I just found out about it yesterday.
Okay, if you want something similar, order a cappuccino instead and then just get a quad at Starbucks. If you get a quad cappuccino, it's four shots in a grande size if you order grande.
Right, but I decided also this week that I'm not a fan of Starbucks coffee anymore. When I go to Starbucks, I get tea.
I get
their Oprah chai.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we have tea. Yep. The press release is dead.
Okay, so yeah, what's first of all, this so, go ahead.
Well, no, well, okay, so first of all, Josh trips my trigger.
You can tell we've been waiting to talk about this one.
Josh trips my trigger because he
wait till the show.
He posts and we have our Slack for us for the show here we use, and he posts on Slack a link to Medium on this post that has basically using Medium as your entire media kit.
Medium.com hosted press kit, how to make a blogger's life easier.
Right. Yeah, so let's talk about press kits and make sure. Okay.
So a press kit typically is...
I've never done a press kit.
Right. So there, I don't. What first of all, it? I don't want to confuse a press release with a press kit.
Right.
Okay. So a press release is when you there's an event or something, you send that out, and that should be all by email and all. Okay. That's immediate, et cetera. You're trying to get some coverage of something right away or news out there.
You're pitching a journalist on doing a story.
Exactly.
Right?
The press kit is where essentially you're already a step down the road there, and you're trying to give them all the information they need for a foundation to form a story. Now, that's going to be facts about the project or the company, background on it.
Photos, things they can use.
Quotes, comments, biographies, bios of the people involved.
If it's video that you're getting, like to television or whatever, then you need B-roll footage. Yep. And stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. A free Starbucks gift card for visiting.
So the article that we're talking about was published on Medium, and it's called The Medium Hosted Press Kit.
You got it to load? It wasn't working.
Yeah, I got it to load up. I will say this. I read the entire thing, and it is a good example of content marketing, because this guy Rod, I'll let you do the teardown on the guy, but he's talking about using Medium as a place to host your press kit, and he spends some time talking about why that's a good idea. But then, deep in the story, we get the reasons why he bothered to even write this thing, which is he's part of a tech startup, and he was part of a tech startup previously. And so he talked about what they did before and what we're doing next time. And, of course, he's given people an advanced look at the new app that's coming out. So this is heavily
good content marketing.
It's an excellent example of content marketing for their tech thing. But I will say this is heavily tech weighted. This is all about startups.
So and my point being on this,
the world I live in,
to tie themes together. But it's not the world most people live in. And that would be my point here, is that the content in this content marketing is not great. It might work for him for content marketing, but the content, and so now everybody understands that really this is a content marketing thing. He's a tech startup guy, tech guy. But then at the beginning of this, he makes these broad, sweeping, declarative statements for which he backs up nothing with facts or data or anything. And that's one of those things that really bugs me. So he says things like the press release is dead. Thankfully, those days are long gone when bloggers and journalists will be rattled by having certain types of pitches
to
in their box.
Through and files and
right,
Dropbox through, and find this.
Right, and Dropbox and on and thinking, yeah. And then, excuse me, I'm sorry. So thankfully, those days are long gone. And then he makes the pitch for it. Here's the problem. He is a young, techie, tech startup guy, and that's a small sliver of the business world. And he is apparently not perceiving the reality that he is only a small sliver. So I was in a couple of things this very week, a couple of meetings with clients where I guarantee you nobody at these tables knew what Medium was, but they all knew how to put together press releases and press kits that would get a lot of coverage, would be very effective, because the concept he's pitching here, if you are looking for, you're a local company and you're looking for publicity, for more people to hear about you in your community, this won't work. What you need is your traditional press release to get coverage in the local.
We're talking about press kits here.
I know, but bear with me here. Because he talks about the press release being dead. I mean, he brought it up in his broad sweeping declarative statements.
Well, that's a link to an article written by a journalist.
TechCrunch.
And actually, it's a really good article. So we can come back to that. Yeah.
Right. But he clearly endorses it.
Well, he takes it out of context and uses the headline as proof for one of his declarative statements. And in reality, the article that he linked to has nothing to do with the point he was trying to make.
Okay. So, interesting enough then. Because I didn't go to it.
I think he was doing a little butt kissing of the TechCrunch journalist, honestly.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So there aren't...
Just my opinion.
Take a community like ours. There are no substantial bloggers in Sarasota for which you can put your thing out there.
Tell him he's wrong. Tell him he's wrong.
I have to stop you there.
Yeah.
You know what? I did a little research using some influencer marketing tools.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe what we have in our backyard.
Okay.
Like, these are people that I'm going to be taking out to dinner that have massive blogs.
Okay. So
that live right here.
That live right here.
Can I come?
That live here.
But what is their penetration of people here? Because I'm talking about a company that's based here. That wants to get publicity here. That's not interested about publicity as far north as Tampa.
But
wants to get publicity here. Do they have the penetration? Do they have the reach of the Sarasota Herald Tribune, of ABC 7, of SRQ Magazine, of Business 941?
Getting press versus getting bloggers, different story.
Right. And that's my point. That's my point. Unless you're talking about an industry that's broad, in which blogging is like very relevant,
right?
But as opposed to local communities and local geographies, blogging has not arrived there yet.
I think this is a really important...
LA maybe, New York, but outside of those
big
sorts
market.
Of things.
I think this is a really important point because I think a lot of our listeners that run local businesses, that run businesses that are not tech related, right? Mm-hmm. That don't work in the tech space. We all have to use technology. But businesses that make up the bread and butter of our economy, the vast majority of the small businesses in this country.
Which I'm super curious what our ratio of our listeners is. How many of them are local businesses?
Anyway, wish there was some way to find
out. I would like to hear that from people.
Maybe just tweet us and let us know.
Before we assume everybody's a small business that's like local.
Well, that's who we talk to. That's who we talk to most of the time, right? Business owners. Right. And entrepreneurs, and not just tech entrepreneurs, because there's clearly the Silicon Valley tech startup entrepreneur type, which I put you in that list, even though you're here, and
thank you.
Every other type of entrepreneur in the world, right? I mean, we don't all live in the Silicon Valley, you know, universe,
right?
And unfortunately, that's what this is kind of.
Some of us live in the Star Wars universe,
and it would be good if we did really kind of. Do what you're doing right now, Rod, which is talk about why some of these things that you read about. Like, for example, I think many of our listeners may not have a real good reason to spend a lot of time on Twitter. As much as it's good for us doing what we do, I still have clients that I tell. I just was in a meeting with a guy this week, a brand new potential client that I was meeting with, and it was referred to us by another client. And he's working on a couple of different projects, and I couldn't in my wildest dreams imagine advising this guy to spend much time on Twitter.
Yep, been there too.
Right? It just isn't
the right
idea. You can
tell it's not going to work.
And it's not even that he's doing such a localized business. You know, some of what he's doing is not necessarily highly local, but it's just not right. And so the point is, we've all got to have strategy. We've got to understand. It's like what we said recently. You got to understand who your real target market is. You got to understand where they live and breathe and what they want and what keeps them awake at night.
So what we're saying is the Medium press kit really, really works in the startup community if you're wanting to get press coverage.
Yeah, if you're hitting up TechCrunch or The Verge.
And the journalists and bloggers you're looking to reach are covering that community, in that community, then yeah, I think that's probably an effective tool.
My only thought is Medium is incredibly user intuitive and...
easy to use, for sure. Yeah.
And it's really easy to embed content, put stuff
up. That's great for that.
So if you're trying to create a press kit really, really quick and easily, and you don't want to spend a bunch of time like trying to create that page on your site, which might take, I don't know, let's say you waste a bunch of time trying to customize this thing when you could have just as easily been, all right, content up, done on Medium. I don't think people are going to be offended that they're on Medium to view your press kit. You're just kind of offended by his
sweeping statements. But even one of those, well, what it does, it doesn't offend me. What it does is it brings into question everything else.
Yeah, the entire logic of the whole thing.
Right. Wow. Since this is the only thing I know from him, and I have to trust his insights on things, when he makes broad statements like that he doesn't support, then I think, well, now I don't know if I can trust anything he says. And this is something I tell a lot of people to be careful of.
So never make...
Okay, here we go. Do you have it? No, we tried to do this over making coffee this morning, too.
Never make broad, sweeping, declarative statements.
It's the worst thing you can possibly do.
Along with hyperbole.
Life.
Yeah, along with hyperbole. So the press release is dead thing, if I can just hit that for 2 seconds, was actually fascinating.
One,
again, it's very much tech-related because it's a TechCrunch journalist that wrote it. But he kind of makes the point that a lot of people... write their press releases. Rod, this is not including you, but a lot of PR people write their press releases to stroke the ego of their paying clients.
Yeah, big mistake there.
Rather than to try to provide the journalist with what they need to actually get a story done.
Right.
And so he kind of makes the point that, look, if you
write it for him, basically.
He's saying, look, no, not at all. He says, if you're sending me a press release, you know, you're probably full of crap. And he said, so here's what you should do instead. And what his point is actually brilliant, because if you follow, he writes out, I don't know, there must be two dozen, maybe two or three dozen questions that he writes. And he says, when you send me something, answer as many of these questions as you can in as few sentences as possible and do it in a way, in a digest format that makes it easy and compelling for me to read. He does, by the way, say, do not send attachments, do not send PDFs.
Interesting.
And he
is he a journalist?
Yeah, he's a TechCrunch journalist.
Well, okay. Do you know why, right?
And then he also says
they don't want you to send attachments and stuff. It fills up the space on their email providers. They have huge issues with maxing out.
That's what he says. He says if you send PDFs, I will delete your email and the PDF along with your contact details when I need to free up space in Gmail. So he says do a link to the PDF online somewhere, and he says please link to your press kit on Dropbox, which I think is hilarious because the reason we're reading this story
the other guy's had Dropbox is because the guy says so 2013
exactly. But this article
so
is
23.
This article is from July of 2015. So and it's by the journalist that he anyway. It's funny. So
that is ironic. Okay, so I think this is an interesting conversation because of what we do and how industries evolve.
Can I just say something? The purpose of this article, the title, Rod.
Which one are we on now?
The press kit one. The medium press kit one.
Right. Not the one written by the journalist.
How to make a blogger's life easier.
Right.
He's talking about targeting bloggers, which I would say most of his statements in here, for your typical blogger, not just your tech blogger, they're going to find this convenient and helpful.
That may be true.
I wish he would have changed his first four paragraphs considerably then.
because your point is that he has no credibility.
The first four paragraphs are really important. And a guy that writes for a living should know that. It's called a lead.
He's not writing content for a living. He's an app developer.
Okay. Yeah, he should stick with app development.
Probably,
honestly.
Maybe he shouldn't be posting on Medium then. I don't know.
You know what?
You should have somebody.
I'll return to my
point. You guys are being jerks.
No. Here's why
people
I think it was
have
brilliant.
People to publish to learn.
I think it was brilliant.
You have to write to learn.
Here's why I think it was brilliant.
Okay, go, David.
What? It is clickbaity, and it is definitely written for all of the people who are like him.
Right.
That are
as content marketing goes, it's good.
Content marketing
piece,
what's
wrong with that?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying. It's brilliant.
He's reaching his audience, which is
you're yelling at me, man.
YouTube.
I'm saying it's brilliant.
I think Josh is the one all hyped up over this.
I just don't think it's useful for most small businesses.
Calm 56-year-old over
who
here.
Are not in the tech space.
My blood's not pumping.
I think it is.
All right.
Okay. But I wanted to make a point there. And this in a broader
pumping,
topic. I hope it is. We don't want to lose you here.
I mean, I'm not steaming. I'm fine.
Okay, good. Because there, you know, everything goes through evolution, right? It evolves.
No.
Everything
I'm
is a broad.
Creationist.
I'm hyperbole here.
Making broad, sweeping declarative statements here,
evolution
Rod.
Evolution does not exist.
I condensed my sentence too far.
A little bit.
I did.
Yeah.
I didn't throw in all the caveats that I should have. Nonetheless.
It's okay. All right. We knew what you meant.
So let's say in this point right here, this is... So how you get your message out is evolving.
Very much so.
Okay. So there was an old...
As are many other things.
As are many other things. Thank you. The press kit used to be a big folder, right? That came in. I got those all the time.
A physical one.
A physical folder you got in the mail. You opened up, you know, at your desk there and next to the typewriter.
I actually wondered if this was what you were talking about when you said the people you were with this week.
And then you
still create
scan these
and they,
photos.
I tell you what, this will include those too.
Okay.
I'll bet you
the physical ones.
This March announcement will include those also.
There's some things to do with Thud Factor that I'm still a big fan of.
Like Thud Factor?
Thud Factor. Yep. When it lands on your desk and it thuds, or your floor if it's too big for the desk.
Right. My computer thuds.
So we evolve from that to you have the whole grouping of a press kit that's in attachments in an email to the next thing, using it in Dropbox or links to Dropbox or links to put it all in a Medium thing depending on your target audience. And that all makes sense. Here's the problem is that the newest excuse me.
God bless.
The newest shiny object on the block, people enamored with that tend to want to throw out all of the babies, in the bathwater that preceded it. And so I deal with that. And then on the other side, I deal with the people who actually would still prefer to get the hard thud on their desk and not even have to deal with their computer and all.
So what babies should not be thrown out?
And so, what I'm saying is a little bit what David was saying before is look at all of it holistically, see what works for this client, for this target audience, for this objective, what works best. Because, you know, there's going to be different ones that work best. So what I was saying with this was his method right here would not work in an awful lot of industries. Probably works very well in the tech industry, certainly in the tech startup industry, but it wouldn't work really well in an awful lot of other industries. So my point being is that as things evolve, don't always think that the newest shiny thing is the only way to go. I think that that's an error in systematic thinking.
I couldn't agree more. And I also think that this article by the journalist is worth reading. And one of the things that which is the press release's dead article, because it really kind of made me sit back and go, you know what? This guy is asking a lot of questions that would make anyone who would read this and try to do it think very, very clearly about what's interesting and what's newsworthy about their product, service, or business
right
now.
Yeah, it's basically 12 questions. Answer these questions and send me an email with the answers to each of these.
I think it's a lot more than 12.
I'm sorry. I used that there's a lot of all caps words.
Well, yeah, because he's
sounds like he's either ticked off or he's
no, he's trying to visually break it up. And he is actually ticked off.
I'm all caps utterly sick lower cap, all caps tired of dealing with upper caps millions of tech entrepreneurs.
Oh, you're at the top. Wait till you get to the bottom.
Oh
no, wait till you get to the bottom.
And then he uses parentheses in there and then another parentheses. And
this is a blog
this guy
post.
A good writer.
This is a blog post. This is not an article that he wrote. This is a blog post. But he's saying, look, if you're going to send me a pitch for a story, you need to tell me what's happening in the news right now that makes you relevant right now.
Absolutely.
What's the big picture here? What's the story?
Yes.
What is the problem this company is solving? Was it a personal problem you had? Describe the genesis of the product. Again, tech focused here, but how has this product actually solved that problem? What does it actually do? Describe it as if you were describing it to a non-tech person on the street. How much traction do you have? Okay, walk me through the user experience. Who are the competitors? What are the key differentiators between you and other players? Why is this better than those other guys?
Basically, he wants them to do his job, it sounds like.
Well, but this is his point. He gets pitched so often and so many times with such really crappy pitches.
So if you want to really stand out with this guy and people like him, this would be your best option for doing it.
And he's TechCrunch. Basically, he's at TechCrunch. So they're like the juggernaut of the space.
Right. So this actually is right in line with what I've said all along. You need to know the target audience there, but then you make it as easy for the journalist as possible. This is why when I ghostwrite for people, I do it in AP style, because that's what all papers and all want. You make everything as easy and clean and friendly and answerable as possible. This is why press kits do work well. No matter what medium they're sent through, they work really well, because it's the easier you can make it for the
medium.
Journalist. Yes, it was. It was a double entendre. No matter how complicated or whatever, if you keep it simple and if you keep it where as much of the information is already provided, just spoon-fed to the journalist or the blogger, the better your odds are that you're going to get the coverage that you're looking for.
And you know what? You have taught me this.
Do their job for them.
You taught me this. Okay, so I sent an article to a guest column to a local newspaper doing exactly what you're describing.
Right.
And, I mean, they published it almost verbatim. Absolutely almost verbatim. I just had to do something this past week for a client who contacted me the last minute. They had bought an advertorial, some native advertising in a local newspaper. Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah, by the way, that's due like now. Can you write that for me? And it was a client we'd done a lot of work with, so I cranked it out. But I did exactly what you're saying. I mean, now, of course, they paid for it, so it's probably going to get run pretty much as is anyway, unless they have some editor that really wants to hack it to smithereens. But
your first one wouldn't.
No, the first one would not have been run anywhere close to verbatim.
Right. So in the
especially given the opinion I was presenting, I was surprised it survived editing at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So if you take the 30,000 foot view, I totally agree with this guy, this TechCrunch guy, as far as that concept goes. When you're doing a press release / press kit, make everything as easy for the journalist / blogger as you can. Which means as much as you can, do their job for them. This is why when I write press releases, I don't do like this inverted pyramid sort of thing and just throw all the stuff. I make a compelling lead that I would want. If I were the journalist writing it, I would write this lead for it. I would do a good lead. It might even be an anecdotal lead, something that really grabs and makes it easy.
Story-ish almost.
Story-ish. So that the journalist can see the value of it, and they might even use it. Matter of fact, I've had press releases that were almost used verbatim with the story under a byline of the reporter.
Wow.
Yeah. So don't underestimate laziness. And I love all my journalist friends.
Don't underestimate laziness.
Yeah.
That's a great line. I'm sorry. That's a great line.
It is. Oh, and part of it is because, you know, there have been a lot of cutbacks there. And, they have a lot to do. And like this guy, TechCrunch, he probably gets overwhelmed with stuff. So the easier you can make his job, the more the chances are that you're going to get what you want published in the way you want it published.
I mean, seriously, who maxes out their email storage? Wow.
Well, especially on Gmail.
Jeez.
So he said, a lot of this may sound incredibly arrogant, and perhaps it is, He says, I don't dig coal for a living, and the Taliban doesn't shoot at me as part of my job. I'm lucky.
Okay, that's a good line.
But journalists have to parse a lot of information quickly. It helps the sender out if they're told in black and white the best way to get noticed and maybe even
absolutely
read.
Absolutely.
That's what this exercise was good about. It's a great piece,
no,
I,
it
honestly.
Is. And I don't understand how it says the press release is dead, but
well,
the traditional press release.
It sounds like he's doing – he's
because what he's saying is that thing that you do that strokes your client's ego doesn't work for me as a journalist.
See, that's the thing I refuse to do anyway.
And that was his point. And, okay. And again, a little clickbaity.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going with.
Good headline.
Yeah, the press release is dead. Yeah, that's.
I'm sorry, that's good. And, yeah. and so that's another thing that we should probably think about when we're trying to get press is what can we do to maybe provide some good ideas for a great headline.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's a good headline.
Yeah, well, I put headlines on my press releases, and it's not, again, it's not dull headlines. I try and, you know, it's got to reflect what the press release is, of course. But
sure.
You try and make it catchy. Do everything you can.
Okay.
Well,
so,
fun stuff there. That was that was a fun exercise in getting publicity because I think, look, it's part of what we all have to do. 2016, so it's a new year. You may be thinking in your business, you know, how can I get some more visibility this year? Well, we've already said we need to be reaching out to bloggers. If you're going to reach out to bloggers.
I would say bloggers/journalists.
Use Medium.
Maybe you should use the Medium post that Josh, you know, which we'll link out to for everyone.
For the press kit. And can I go back AP style?
Oh, yeah. That's Associated Press. That's a particular type of style that almost all newspapers use. They all use it.
Okay.
And it's funky because it's not the King's English all the time, which drove my mom, an English teacher, crazy. She would take my newspaper stories when I first started in the field, and she'd mark them up with her red pen. She would. And show me.
Classic.
I said, but Mom, that's not AP style. And she said, I don't care. It's not the King's English. I said, you're right. But I have to do it this way. She said, well, it's wrong.
News for you, Mom. We don't have a king.
Oh, we don't have a king.
But yeah,
my mom was
true.
Born in the early 20s. So.
And the AP style, well, there was a king in England, at least when she was born. The AP style guide is available online. It gets updated all the time. And you should probably reference it once in a while. I mean, if you're going to be sending stuff to journalists, it's a good idea.
It is.
Yeah. It's quirky, like you said, right?
Oh, it's really quirky.
A few things in there just
but
make
if you
no
make it,
sense to
particularly
me whatsoever.
Particularly if you're writing something that you want to be published, you really need to try and get it close to that.
In a publication.
I'm sorry, in a publication.
Right.
In a
not on a blog.
Publication.
Right,
no.
Yeah.
A blog, then, though, you need to know what that blog is looking for style-wise, too. Are they tech-heavy? Are they story-heavy? Are they just into good writing?
And I mean, look at their layouts on their stories.
Look at their layouts. Do they want a ton of infographics, or are they just text? I mean, what does that blog look like? And then write it accordingly.
So did you guys hear about the big news from Twitter this week? It was hinted at this past week.
You talking about the discontinuing of the 140 characters?
They're talking about opening it up to 10,000 characters for tweets.
But hiding all but 140 until you click on it.
Well, yeah, there'll be like a little more or whatever, you know, three dots or something.
How do you go from 140 characters to 10,000?
That's like 50 tweets. Am I right? Am I doing the math right in my head? Like putting 50 tweets in one. Jack Dorsey made the announcement this week, and he posted on Twitter.
I think they're probably wanting to, you know, get people's responses before they make the change.
Well, the world responded. I and I'm curious to see what you guys think about this, how much it would change. But he tweeted a photo of a long piece of text. And
does it look like my Slack one, Josh?
No, because he actually took the time to put paragraphs.
Oh, okay.
What's funny is that he references the idea of tweet storms at the end. He says, also, I love tweet storms. And it has the little red underline where Microsoft Word or whatever he composed this in is saying that's not a word.
Oh, that's great.
So when he screenshotted it.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
I'm always telling them it is too, and it's spelled right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can add it to the
dictionary.
Yeah, exactly. It might have been his browser. I don't know. But anyway, it's interesting because he was making the point that we see a lot of people doing this, where they take screenshots of longer pieces of text and they just tweet the photo. And that's how he shared this big piece of news.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm not sure that we know yet like when this is happening or even if it's really happening.
Is this a trial balloon so that they can sort of gauge what the response of their community would be?
I suspect it is. But can you imagine what it would be like if you suddenly had 10,000 characters at your disposal?
Well, you know, I'd love it.
Well, yes.
Well, I'm not sure my time management would love it.
Okay, hold on.
Right. What would that do to your Twitter feed?
Yeah.
Like those few hundred people that you do actually follow because I know you actually read your Twitter stream.
Right.
What if they could all suddenly put 50 times more
content? I like that.
I think there's extreme value in learning how to communicate effectively in very little words. Sure. And what Twitter has forced us to do is to eliminate the fluff at an extreme level and somehow, you know, express interesting, complex ideas in very few words. And I kind of like that exercise. That's what makes me sad, is that this would be gone, which kind of, I mean, I know you still have titles and you still have the right titles of blog posts and all that kind of, but I still liked something about it that's unique.
So two thoughts on that, because I think that there's a sense in which you're right. There's a certain discipline that Twitter can give us. On the other hand, I think it elevates superficiality too.
Like texting, right?
Yeah.
Forces you to be too obscure, cryptic.
Sure, and then you have all of these, you know, abbreviated words. Some of sometimes they're trying to cram so much into it and using abbreviated words, I can't even figure out what it is anymore.
Right.
It's like decryption is required, you know?
That's true.
But the other
thing
is...
And then you still make room for hashtags.
Even if you're right. Even if you're going to write longer on it, then you still have to grab somebody in those first, you know, several words in order to get them to click on the more. And so there's still going to be some requirement to do something catchy, brief, summation-wise in the first part of it. Now, me personally, I would like it because I don't like to click on it and then have something else open up. I would rather just did it right there.
Why is that?
Good question. I guess it's just a personal preference.
So, like, if there's a link.
Because I want to stay in Twitter if I'm on Twitter.
So you don't like the experience of someone sharing a link to a story and then having to click it to open it up and read the story?
Well, you know, if it's on another platform, then it's on platform.
Is it because of the load time?
Part of it, yeah.
Because I think this is one of the big reasons that they made me
think. This is going to be another thing. Are you syndicating your blog content to Medium? I mean, to Twitter?
It's going to be Google Plus. Google Plus didn't have a 140-character limit. I'm confused. I'm like, Twitter is its own thing, and now it wants to be Facebook.
Here's the thing.
Google Plus or somebody else.
Here's what I think. A tweet is 140 characters. If you want to create a new type of post on Twitter, call it, you know, just like...
like the Facebook one?
Like Facebook has pages? Is that what they're called?
Call it a flock. Yeah.
Or whatever.
Notes. The Facebook has notes.
Notes. So you post along, and then if you put a link to a note in a tweet... It somehow embeds it in a way that's more native to the platform.
Well, and they're doing that already.
I like that.
With Twitter. Twitter is doing this depending on where you put what kind of a link you put in, and if the publisher supports it.
You talking about Twitter cards?
Twitter is doing not just Twitter cards, but they're actually embedding chunks of stories right in Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I would be really interested in that. How does that work?
What publication is this?
It's an OEmbed format. It's part of the tech spec for OEmbeds, and Twitter basically. If the markup on the site supports it, they'll suck in a chunk of the story. It's not a lot. It's
okay,
a preview.
So you're not doing it on Twitter. You're doing it on a different site.
No, you literally post
a
link in your tweet, and then Twitter, when it displays your tweet to people, shows a preview of the story.
Oh, you're talking about the preview down there. Yeah.
Okay.
No, so I got that.
So this would...
I thought practically everything does that.
No, he's talking about something else.
Okay.
So,
but this would automatically do it for you instead of you having to add this markup to your site, which is feasibly
well. This way, I mean, what they're talking about doing now is you just write 10,000 characters, and it's 71.42 tweets. For the record, by the way, I decided to do the math.
Thank you.
So you can now put 71 when this if they do it, you'll be able to put 71 tweets worth of content in your individual
tweet. when they went to including pictures that automatically loaded, I really hated that. Because it slowed me down so much going through my feed because, of course, all that visualness was attracting my eye.
You talking about before they bought TwitPic and started hosting images?
When Twitter started out, it was just the text. It was just 140 characters all the time. I really liked that. And then they did this. But I've gotten used to it, and so I'm fine with it. So this could be another one of those things where...
Sounds horrific.
Sounds terrible at first and all. But then, you know, you're on Twitter. You're kind of committed to Twitter. You keep using it. You get used to it. And then you find some value in it.
All right, somebody make a broad sweeping statement about Twitter and the 10,000 characters.
Go for it.
I'm not doing it. I don't have any data. You can ask my family about this. I'm a bugger about citations of things. If you make absolute blatant statements, then I want to know how you back that up.
I've never noticed. So what were you going to say?
Oh, I wasn't going to say anything. I just wanted a broad sweeping statement to wrap this
up. Oh, you were asking us? Oh, I thought you were about to load one on us.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I can make something up, you know.
No.
The 10,000 character limit will be the death of Twitter.
If they do it, I kind of think it will definitely forever alter how we experience Twitter. And right. that just could like be the death of Twitter. Have. I mean, it could be. It's already not mainstream. I think, and this is the point that there's a buffer on the Buffer blog, actually, that kind of summarizes some of the reactions from different people.
Wait a minute. You just made a statement. It's not mainstream. How would you define that?
That's where I'm going.
Okay,
so
sorry.
They cited a couple of lines from Gary Vaynerchuk, mm-hmm. who talks about, you know, whether Twitter is actually mainstream or not. So think about this. Here's what he said. I'll just read it. The dirty little secret about Twitter is that it never fully went completely mainstream. It never went to a billion users. It's already smaller than Instagram from a mainstream standpoint.
By mainstream, now we're talking about just total users.
I think I'm sure that's part of what he's saying, but I think
adjusted for spam accounts.
And I think he's also talking about probably within the U.S. to a certain degree, right?
Okay.
You know, I'm putting words in his mouth when I say that, but I think that's probably true because we think about adoption in the U.S., Facebook is certainly mainstream. Twitter is still reserved to a few, you know, big areas. Tech is one of them. I think journalists use it. But anyway, he said, I wouldn't call it a niche product, but it's definitely a product that I would argue is confusing. Watching the grandmas of 2007 and 8 jump on Facebook and Twitter, what always struck me was how quickly grandma understood Facebook and how utterly utterly confused she was with Twitter. Right, so new users, when they adopt, still have a gigantic learning curve when they hit Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case with Facebook. Facebook has...
It's got its own social code to it.
It really
People
does.
Operate differently on
and,
Twitter.
But that's true of really any social network, I think, to some degree.
But
Instagram...
Twitter's is more cryptic, probably because of the 140-character limit.
Yeah. Yeah, and originally, you know, look, the technology was a limitation originally.
So what's the user base? I mean, how many people use Twitter?
The last time I checked,
and where
it was
does
like
it go?
300 million.
Is that all?
Oh, yeah, it's very small.
300 million accounts or people? How do they adjust for spam?
Let me look it up while we're talking about it.
Okay, so you look at, and then I'd be interested. All right, so we know Facebook is the king. And then is Instagram next? And where's Pinterest? And what else? Are there others that come before Twitter?
I wasn't prepared for this question. I'm sorry.
Well,
but
I just expect you to know all these things off the top of your head.
This would be an interesting...
I used to know. So it all always changes. This is Pew Internet Research, which, of course, they're one of the top sources of data on this. This is from a year ago. 71% of adult internet users use Facebook. 58% of the entire adult population in America. This is in America. And let's see.
Wait, so why do we have two numbers? Say those, which one do we want to go with there to do apples?
71% of adult internet users.
Internet users, I see.
Okay. Yeah, 58% of the entire adult population. Okay. So for Twitter, it's only 23% of adult internet users.
Wow.
So
less than a third.
Yeah, less than a third of the population.
No, less than a third of
Facebook. And less than a third of the Facebook users.
I don't spend much time on Twitter.
And this is
most
this
of what
is,
I do on Twitter
ago.
is automated.
Okay.
Except for when I actually talk to people and do direct messages. Mentions.
So you don't read your Twitter feed, do you?
Oh, heck no.
No.
See, and this is my continual concern with Twitter is that so many people are trying to build up a Twitter following and they're not actually reading their Twitter feed, that I begin to question the value of posting tweets. If everybody is doing that, or a large percentage of people are doing that and not reading their feed, then what's the value of your tweet?
But clearly they're not. I mean, and again, this is where I think people who do use Twitter a lot have developed things like lists and other ways of interacting with their Twitter feed so that they don't miss content that they really want. So the feed itself is useless to me, but I have lists that I watch, and I pay attention to what those accounts tweet. And you're one of them. I actually have you on a list.
So
and some people, I actually get notifications when they
tweet.
So
I look at a lot of them, and I think we might have touched on this before, but you can have somebody that has 40,000 followers, and they're following 42,000 or something like this, you know. Basically that even sort of thing. And if you look through, you know, 20 or 30 of their tweets, their interaction is negligible. And whereas myself, if you look at mine, I have like 2,400 or 2,500 followers. And I don't know what I'm following for
Congratulations.
Sure. Congratulations. Yeah. But if you look at the engagement, my engagement can range, well, from a few hundred, retweets to a lot of them are in the 6 to 12 range retweets. And so those numbers of followers have come to mean nothing to me.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. And people have worked so hard to get that number up big, but it's not an important number anymore.
I agree.
Yeah.
I use Twitter to connect as an influencer. I use it to connect with people who want to talk to me. Whereas a lot of people use that Twitter still to follow people. So, but I think that's the cool thing about it is you can use it in different ways.
Well, you can. I just feel like it's devalued Twitter.
I think you're right. I think it's changing. And that's got to be part of what Jack Dorsey has to be responding to, right? They have to do things that are new. And they've been working really hard. And this may be part of what Gary Vaynerchuk was, you know, making a larger point about. Twitter, if they're going to survive, if they're going to survive as a public company, this is the thing. The stockholders demand returns right on their investments. And if Twitter were a private company, I think they could continue to exist just as they have for a very long period of time.
Right.
Because I think they provide a lot of value. But if they're going to deliver value to the stockholders, they've got to innovate. They've got to grow. They've got to get larger user bases. And they've got to monetize more effectively than they are.
Well, that's what they really need to grow is their monetization.
Yeah. Okay, so here's some real quick more recent data. This is from August of 2015 from Pew Internet. And it looks like that Facebook is at 72% of the online adults.
Okay.
Pinterest is at 31%.
Okay.
Instagram, 28%.
Okay.
LinkedIn, 25%. Twitter, 23%.
Wow. Is this people or like traffic?
Online adults. These are people who say, according to Pew's research, that say they use the social media platform.
Polls?
Wait, do they say that they use social media platforms or are they just on the internet?
No, how is Pinterest more than Instagram?
Pinterest is more than Instagram.
That's why I said that. I thought Instagram would be. Instagram. There we go.
Wow, that's Pinterest a mashup.
I thought Pinterest would be.
And how about LinkedIn? How's that doing?
Exactly. Yeah, LinkedIn.
Who knows? That may happen. I mean,
LinkedIn
how we got
has
General
more,
Motors.
I guess I can see
a different era.
LinkedIn having more adoption than Twitter.
Now, you can look at this data different ways. You can say, okay, how many accounts do they have? How many active monthly accounts do they have? And so on. Pew's approach has been, let's talk to people and find out what they use.
Right.
And that's what the data is that we're looking at here.
You know, we never talk about LinkedIn.
We don't.
It's true,
isn't it?
It's true. And
it rated above Twitter there.
And I actually have something to mention about LinkedIn.
Well,
I'm excited about
by
it.
All means, let's mention it. Because now's a good time.
Profile Hopper. Do you know how you get notifications when people view your profile? It's a Chrome extension where you put in your target people you're wanting to connect with.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it goes and views them for you without you having to view them.
So it's a passive way to have
passive is one word.
It's... No, I actually like this. I actually like this because it is better than sending me a message on LinkedIn.
Yeah, please don't send me a message.
Yeah, what is it called? An in-mail thing. Yeah.
In-mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there again,
I really don't. I have a huge number of LinkedIn. I mean, like
connections.
Yeah, like third or something like this.
Oh,
and
dang.
You
should publish our podcast
on
there.
What do I do with all these
people?
Well,
you share our podcast.
Half of
that'd be one
India.
Of them.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this got rolling so big.
What the heck's wrong with you? Yeah.
I know. I look every time I look at that, I think, oh, I'm just sitting on something that I should not just be sitting on here.
Wow.
Yeah, you could be picking up clients and all sorts of stuff on there. Maybe we should bring on a LinkedIn marketing expert who can teach us some tricks of the trade.
That's a great
I think that is a good idea.
Next week.
Yeah. Tell us about our guest.
The guy from Automate Ads.
Automate Ads, what did they do? Or should we save it for the show for next week?
Oh, tease it, Josh.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I use it, and it helps basically if you're creating like a Facebook campaign or Twitter. I think they work with a couple different platforms. Actually, Instagram too, but Facebook mainly. They help you set up your ad campaigns in a way that saves you money. So they kind of, I don't know how, this is the questions I want to ask him, is how does their, by using them to create ads, how is it different from Facebook? And what I do know is that it automatically creates a new version of your ad every couple of hours and keeps a thing from happening called ad rot on Facebook.
And ad rot is a thing.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got the same ad running for a month, by the end of it, you're paying more per click and all these kinds
of
things.
Yeah, that's actually really bad. Letting them run that long is bad, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got an automated solution to kind of help with this. So
what if you're trying to brand a name? You just keep changing the ad with the name dominant.
Well, the trick is Facebook will actually stop showing your ad anyway if the engagement drops off. Yes.
Basically?
Yeah. Once the engagement starts to drop, they'll slow it down.
Okay.
And if you continue to say no, I'm willing to pay for this, then they'll say okay, but we're just going to charge you a lot more because your quality score is low, your engagement is low, your relevance is low, all that sort of stuff. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah,
I'm looking
forward
to so that'll be next week. We have a guest next week, and the week after that is going to be our 1-year anniversary show, where we're going to look for some of our, big moments from the year. So,
yes,
we're talking to you, listener. If there's been a moment that you really look back on, from our show, maybe something that stands out in your memory from our first year,
or your favorite guest,
then we want to hear from you about, which episode it was, or if you can remember that there was a specific moment. I mean, you don't have to know what time
was
it was
thing
in the show.
With emojis, with
Kim? Where Larry Kim said, "I'm not even punking you right now." That was a great line. That was just funny stuff right there. So anyway, that'll be in a couple of weeks. So you need to let us know about those moments. You can email us at show@growthedream.com. You can also tweet us at GTDShow. And we will, by all means, be reading every submission and be looking for that. But we actually started on January 23rd of 2015. And so 2 weeks from the day that this show releases is the 25th.
Should we, in commemoration of this day, record the episode at your house again?
I think my wife would shoot us if we showed back up with all the gear.
Pretty sure. Pretty sure that's a veto right there.
But okay. We do have, somewhere we have footage of the first episode, which was around my dining room table with the microphone.
Yeah, we tried to live stream it
on Google.
Which is something we're playing around with too. So I know we're going to be talking about this year, some things we're going to be doing. But if you'd be interested in seeing our show live, if we should be investing some of our time in that, let us know.
Would you ever want to watch live?
Yeah.
If we told you the secret day and time which we record.
You can answer that in a kind way.
Yeah, so tweet us at GTDShow.
In a kind way.
And
I don't want to watch you live.
Why in the world would I want to watch you slugs?
So if you
barely listen to you.
If you have reactions to today's show, you want to learn more about what a press kit is, how to get publicity, what your press release should do, all of that sort of stuff.
Whatever
or
AP style is, I still don't understand.
Yeah. Then certainly you can
book.
You can make comments on today's episode. It's growthedream.com/shows/049. Can you believe it, guys? 49 episodes.
What, you have to put like two spaces after a period still? Is that AP style?
No.
Think spell out percent or use the percent sign. Those sorts of things, plus a lot more.
Ooh, man, that style guide is so weird.
It is.
It's brutal. All right.
Well, I think you're weird.
I think
this
has been a fun show. We're going to leave it there with the bromance. For those of you listening, Rod Thompson is the king of all PR.
Thank you.
He's a 30-year veteran journalist who has turned press and media messaging specialist. He'll help your business message itself.
I don't know what happened to Guru, but okay.
But will he be able to keep up with the changes happening in the press industry?
He has a Medium account.
So
I've
far,
seen it.
So good.
Yep, he's publishing there, too.
I hang around with you guys. Of
and
course I will.
Josh is the king of all things startup and tech.
I don't even understand the language Rod speaks sometimes.
That's why you need me.
He is a millennial, and we have great fun at his expense over that. You can find him on Twitter at Josh Muccio, which apparently he does not read. So,
no, I don't read my time. I read my notifications.
If you mention him and he gets a notification.
Okay, there is nothing better than making Josh flustered. There's just nothing better.
If you tweet at me, I'm going to talk to you. Come on, people.
Anyway, Josh has
not mislead.
He's got great advice for startups. He's also the host of The Pitch, which used to be thepitch.vc, but is now thepitch.fm. And all that good stuff. And you can find me on Twitter.
David, the...
Get it right now.
The
Come on.
David Johnson.
The David Johnson.
And the David Johnson on Twitter, who is the founder of Grow the Dream Marketing and king of all things marketing and tech.
Well, okay. That's generous. I appreciate that.
I'm so happy we can all suck up to each other at the end of the show.
Hey, people need to know who we are, man. It's part of the deal.
That's right.
Anyway.
And if you've made it this far, you deserve to know who
absolutely.
We are.
Absolutely. We saved it till the end of the show just for you. So anyway, we'll look forward to seeing you episode 50 next week with our special guest, founder of Automate Ads. Going to be great stuff.
I'm crying on the inside.
Hope you have a great week.
for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.